Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is September 9, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about American Express launches credit card for millennials. Computop receives approval as gyro card network operator. Samsung, Visa, Fiserv to turn smartphones into contactless payment terminals. Cashfree launches instant refunds for online payments in India. Nordea invests in fintech Creditwire. Viva Wallet strikes deal with Belgium's Bankcontact. SME Bank Alica approved by PRA. Tide follows Starling in online SMB banking push. In UK, BEC fraud gains ground on e-commerce sites. Goldman Sachs provides $100 million loan to Konfio. HighRadius integration targets credit manager bank connectivity. VNDLY partners with Pontoon on contingent workforce management solutions. How cybersecurity tries to keep up with attackers' evolving strategies. PrimaryBid closes $7 million funding round. Spendesk raises $38 million in Series B round. Banks and TPPs provide update of their joint PSD2 task force to the European Commission. How data empowers the new face of SMB accounting. Now let's get started. American Express launches credit card for millennials. American Express, one of the world's largest card issuers by purchase volume, has announced the launch of the SmartEarn credit card for millennials in India. The highlight of the credit card is reward points on everyday transactions such as ride sharing, movie booking, and other online purchases. This card carries an annual fee of $7 US, 495 Indian rupees. Representatives of American Express Banking Corp said that the SmartEarn credit card is created with the millennial customer in mind, with offerings that cater to millennial needs. Earlier in 2019, American Express has revealed plans to release a new credit card for small businesses, dubbed American Express Blue Business Cash Card. The card is a cash-back credit card that comes with no annual fee and opportunities to expand credit spending limits. Computop receives approval as gyro card network operator. Computop has now been certified as a gyro card network operator by the Deutsche Kreditwirtschaft, DK. Due to this certification, merchants and commercial network operators can also use Computop's omnichannel platform Paygate for gyro card payments at the POS. The gyro card network operation developed internally by Computop combines the established POS payment method with over 350 payment methods from all over the world. The target group for the new offer are commercial network operators who are looking for modern technical network operation for their terminal fleet, as well as retail companies who want to equip themselves with card terminals. Alternatively, partners can connect to Computop Paygate with their own terminal solution and use the gyro card functionality. All payment transactions can be evaluated in real time. Moreover, Computop accounting enables the daily gyro card transactions to be merged into one booking item. Samsung, Visa, Fiserv to turn smartphones into contactless payment terminals. Fiserv, Visa, and Samsung Electronics have announced that they will launch SoftPOS, which turns smartphones and tablets into contactless payment terminals. SoftPOS enables contactless payments of any amount via a smartphone or tablet with no additional equipment using embedded near-field communication (NFC) functionality. The merchant's phone will be enabled with the acceptance of contactless transactions from existing contactless cards, other NFC-enabled mobile phones, or other NFC-enabled devices such as wearables and key fobs. A SoftPOS pilot will take place in Poland by the end of 2019. The pilot program will expand thereafter, initially in the EMEA and APAC regions. In addition to international cooperation in implementing SoftPOS in the EMEA and APAC regions, Visa's contactless capability will enable quick and secure contactless transactions. Fiserv will ensure secure settlement of transactions, and Samsung Electronics, in partnership with Samsung Knox, will provide security protocols in both hardware and software and mobile devices. Cashfree launches instant refunds for online payments in India. Cashfree has announced the introduction of instant refunds on online payments for e-commerce businesses in India. With Cashfree's instant refunds, e-commerce platforms would be able to immediately return their customers' money through their original mode of payment, whether it is credit or debit card, bank account, online wallet or UPI. The instant refund solution can be availed without any changes to the existing Cashfree payment gateway integration. It also integrates with other payment gateways, internal product or enterprise resource planning (ERP) process through a simple API application programming interface. According to the Union Ministry of Consumer Affairs proposed guidelines for e-commerce under the new Consumer Protection Act, companies would be granted a maximum of 14 days to effect any refund requests from customers. In addition, in the coming weeks, Cashfree also plans to add refunds for cash on delivery (COD) orders into its instant refund solution to allow integrated refund management for businesses. Nordea invests in fintech Creditwire. Nordea has invested in the fintech company Creditwire together with the Danish bank Sparekassen Kronjylland. Several of our Danish corporate customers already use Creditwire's solution to get an easy visual overview of their finances, and the goal is to roll out the solution beyond the Danish borders. Creditwire is a unique tool, which can both make life easier for our corporate customers and strengthen the cooperation and dialogue between the customer and us as a bank. We have cooperated with Creditwire for some time and can see that their solution is working. That is why we have decided to invest in the company, said BJRN BJE Jensen, head of business banking in Denmark. With the investment, Nordea gets a seat on Creditwire's board and will, among other things, help launch the solution in more countries. Creditwire provides our customers with an easy and intuitive analytical tool to manage their finances. With it, we can prepare budgets, assess credit needs, etc. together, not just at annual follow-up meetings, but also during the year. We therefore hope soon to be able to offer the solution to many more Nordea customers in the Nordics, BJRN BJE Jensen said. Growth company. For Creditwire, it has been important to choose the investors who, in terms of competencies, can best support the company in its continuous journey. For us, it is essential to get investors on board who understand what we want to do with the company and can help it with more than just money. We are enormously lucky to be able to invite Nordea and Sparekassen Kronjylland on board, said Niklas Maelstrup, CEO of Creditwire. Viva Wallet strikes deal with Belgium's Bankcontact. Viva Wallet, known as the first European cloud-based digital payments provider based on Microsoft Azure, now offers acquiring services for Bankcontact Payconiq company, the Belgium-based innovator and company behind the well-known Bankcontact payment scheme. Bankcontact card holders will now be able to pay at over 100,000 merchant locations serviced by Viva Wallet across Europe. We are happy to enter into this partnership and provide Belgian consumers the opportunity to pay with their Bankcontact cards either online or at the physical retail with a peace of mind and unparalleled convenience. Viva Wallet allows our merchants to accept 25 payment methods and we are excited to have Bankcontact amongst them, explains Viva Wallet's Belgium country manager, Dimitris Papayoannou. Wherever Bankcontact customers are in Europe, they can make use of their Bankcontact debit card in any shop or retailer that uses a Viva Wallet card machine to accept payments. Currently, Viva Wallet is active in 17 major European countries. Natalie Vandepute, CEO of Bankcontact Payconiq company, emphasizes, "My team and I are very pleased about the new working relationship with Viva Wallet, which is a significant European player, providing payment terminals in 17 countries across Europe. Working with Viva Wallet will increase the number of points of sales able to offer electronic payment to their customers. This is excellent news both for businesses and for shoppers, who are wanting more and more to use their Bankcontact card to pay for purchases wherever they happen to be, whether in the traditional way or contactless." To celebrate this exciting new partnership, BankContact Payconic Company and Viva Wallet will run a joint promotional campaign to encourage the usage of BankContact cards at Viva Wallet terminals. SME Bank Alica approved by PRA. Alica, a bespoke bank for SMEs, is delighted to announce that it has been granted its banking license by the Prudential Regulation Authority, PRA, and will be duly regulated by the PRA and the Financial Conduct Authority, FCA. Alica has been built with the sole aim of enabling SMEs to advance their business using two fundamental principles, tailored support and financial expertise. Alica is now planning for a full launch and will ultimately offer working capital solutions and cash management, including loans, savings, payment services and asset finance. Mark Stevens, Chief Executive Officer, Alica, said, "The banking license is an important milestone in our ambition to offer SMEs a genuine banking alternative. We built Alica specifically for businesses to realize their aspirations to advance. Alica will offer hands-on support from finance experts who are fully committed to providing each customer with tailored business solutions. I am very much looking forward to the next exciting phase of launch." Alica has also announced the appointment of John Maltby as chair of the board of directors. John brings with him substantial executive and board-level experience from across financial services as well as other sectors. He has been involved in the SME sector for many years and is passionate about developing a lending business that truly serves and supports SMEs. John Maltby, Chair, Alica, said, "I am delighted to join the Alica team at such an exciting and important time as Alica receives its banking license. The SME market in England and Wales continues to be underserved, and changing customer needs and behaviours mean that existing banking propositions sometimes are less relevant to owner-managers of SMEs." Tide follows Starling in online SMB banking push. Another UK challenger bank is expanding its mobile-first strategy to the web. Tide, which targets small and medium-sized business (SMB) customers, announced it will now allow SMBs to sign up for accounts online, according to Altfee Reports Friday, September 6. The company hopes to accelerate growth by adding another channel through which SMBs can become customers, having previously only accepted new account signups through its mobile app. The online account opening tool will go live Monday, September 9. Unlike for consumers, web in addition to mobile apps is a must for small and medium-sized businesses, said Tide Chief Executive Oliver Prill in a statement. "Small businesses want a dedicated and focused partner that will help them grow their business and save them time on their banking and admin," he added, according to reports. Last week, another UK challenger bank, Starling Bank, revealed its own plans to launch a web platform. The initiative was revealed within its biannual update to banking competition remedies, with the bank noting that adding support for online, as well as mobile banking meets small businesses' needs. Starling understands that many SMEs want to manage their banking online as well as through mobile applications, and to support this, it will launch its web portal in Q3 2019, the bank said. Construction of this portal is underway and on track for launch in September 2019. The filing is part of Starling's requirement to update banking competition remedies of its growth plans after securing a portion of the $1 billion in RBS funds, which banking competition remedies is in charge of issuing. Tide also secured RBS funds, noting that the investment provided the bank the opportunity to add additional time-saving products for small businesses to the platform. Tide and Starling are often pitted against each other as top rivals, with analysts pointing to the race to sign up the most small business clients as a tight one. The most recent reports said Tide secured about 1.75% of the UK's small business banking market, with aims to obtain 8%. In UK, BEC fraud gains ground on e-commerce sites. In the United Kingdom, online marketplace news site Tamebay reported this past week that eBay has allegedly not stopped a scam where fraudsters changed details of sellers' PayPal addresses and diverted funds into scammers' accounts. In anecdotes reported by Tamebay, seller accounts have been compromised. The fraudsters buy URLs with similar addresses and tie an email account to that address. PayPal accounts are then set up and funds diverted. The daily take may be low, as the site reported, but cumulatively the losses have come to thousands of pounds. In one case, a seller contacted TameBay and said that more than 14,000 pounds were looted over the course of more than 3,200 transactions over a four-month period. Of eBay, TameBay asked, "Why are there no alerts when a PayPal email payment address is changed on active listings? Why is there no warning on the seller dashboard? What is eBay doing to prevent this from happening to you? Or is it already happening to you and you just aren't aware you're being scammed?" eBay blame s PayPal, PayPal blame s eBay. Neither take s responsibility. In India, the Financial Express reported that the Indirect Tax Department has developed an index, based on risk assessment, that seeks to identify the parties using fake invoices to evade taxes. The index can help realize tax revenues of 50,000 crores a year. The news site said that the invoices do not have a trade-off of goods or services, and tend to claim tax credits that are unwarranted and then use them to offset other liabilities. The fake invoices also have been used to exaggerate top lines and launder money. There is the potential to create a database to monitor fraud, said the site. The taxman would keep a close watch on firms that quote common addresses, PANs, emails, mobile numbers or authorized signatories, according to the report. Firms that consistently show mismatch in reported transactions and e-way bills (EWB) would also be seen as being risky. The tax department also is reportedly looking at how such activities might be addressed by the Indian Penal Code. Separately, in the States, in Alaska, it was reported that more than $2.3 million has been returned to the city of Unalaska in the wake of an investigation by federal authorities into business email compromise (BEC) fraud. As has been reported across news sites such as KUCB, the city paid $2.9 million to a scammer's bank account from May to July of this year. The fraudster represented the account as belonging to a vendor for the city and requested that payments be sent to the account. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was called in, and the real vendor was paid the full amount owed, partly covered by the city's insurance. In a statement, FBI Special Agent Steve Forrest said fraudulent schemes are becoming more prevalent, stating that in the case of Unalaska, we were able to recover funds and prevent any future loss thanks to the timely and thorough response from the city administration, said Forrest. We are continuing to investigate this case in an effort to identify the perpetrators. Goldman Sachs provides $100 million loan to Konfio. Goldman Sachs Group is giving a $100 million loan to Konfio, marking the first time the lender's structured finance, investment and lending business has provided a credit facility to a Latin American fintech. Konfio, a Mexico-based alternative small business lender with plans to launch a new program in the country aimed at strengthening local SMBs' finances, will use the money to lend about $250 million in the next 12 months, according to David Arana, the company's CEO and founder. He added that there are plans to eventually use guarantees or collateral so that the Konfio will be able to provide bigger loans than its average of $20,000. We came across Goldman at several Latin America fintech events, and we started conversations, Arana said in an interview, according to Bloomberg. I think they're the right partners to help us continue to make an impact. Konfio analyzes credit behavior and other data to give companies an immediate response, as well as disburse loans in as little as 24 hours. In addition, its interest rates are half those charged by traditional banks, said Arana. Konfio's technology is also able to keep non-performing loans under control, with the company's delinquency rate at 4.8% in 2018, compared with 5.4% for the banking industry. I lived through the subprime crisis, said Arana, who worked at Deutsche Bank AG in New York from 2006 to 2013. In an era of abundant data, we were supposed to be able to make better decisions, but I was actually seeing the opposite. Access to finance was shrinking. So I saw an opportunity. Launched in 2014, Konfio raised $43 million in equity and $260 million in debt. It also has access to credit from Bank of Nova Scotia. Investors have included Jaguar Ventures, Kashek Ventures, QED Investors, Acción Frontier, International Finance Corp., Vostok Emerging Finance, and Victory Park Capital Advisors. Just last week it was announced that Facebook and Confio were teaming up to co-develop the Aula Morada program, a series of events designed to provide informative support for small businesses across Mexico. Targeting about 8,000 businesses, the events will take place in various cities with both Facebook and Confio offering conferences and workshops to educate and support entrepreneurs and small business owners. HiRadius integration targets credit manager bank connectivity. Software as a service fintech HiRadius is collaborating with bank reference automation firm Confirmation to broaden the functionality of HiRadius online credit application solution. According to a press release on Thursday, September 5, HiRadius will integrate Confirmation, which is part of Thomson Reuters, into the HiRadius online credit application portal, a solution for business credit managers to streamline credit application. The Confirmation integration will enable those credit managers to automate and accelerate bank reference request processing, connecting those professionals to Confirmation's banking network, digitizing and standardizing requests and promoting compliance. Integrating Confirmation's bank reference technology into the HiRadius Credit Cloud enables HiRadius to automate the credit process for online credit applications, said HiRadius Chief Product Officer Saeed Shabar in a statement. HiRadius VP of Sales for the Americas Mark Portanova added that the integration allows the firm to expand our credit inquiry solution to new markets. We will enhance workflows, reporting capabilities and client authorization processes within the HiRadius platform, he said. These measures will progress the traditionally slow, manual and time-consuming credit approval processes, enabling the use of online credit applications as an expedited solution. Its partnership with Confirmation is the latest initiative by HiRadius to promote efficiency through data integration. In March, the company announced the launch of its Collection Agency Data Exchange (CADE) tool, allowing accounts receivable teams to streamline data sharing with collection agencies, including accounts and invoice information. At the time, HiRadius said three collection agencies were participating in the integration, AG Adjustments, Altus Global Trade Solutions and DNS Global Solutions. The companies noted that the data integrations will accelerate collections times and drive recoveries of unpaid invoices. A month prior, HiRadius had revealed the integration of its Frida Digital Assistant into its own accounts receivable platform, enabling our professionals to use an artificial intelligence AI solution with voice and touch activation to automate a range of our tasks. VNDLY partners with Pontoon on contingent workforce management solutions. VNDLY and Pontoon have announced that they are teaming up on contingent workforce management solutions. Founded in 2017, VNDLY provides businesses with a work management system designed to help them manage their contingency workforce using sophisticated algorithms, machine learning (ML) and artificial intelligence (AI) technology. The platform is made up of four major modules: contingent workforce management, statement of work (SAW) management, payrolling and independent contractor (IC) compliance and total talent acquisition. Pontoon is a global leader of managed service provider, recruitment process outsourcing and total talent solutions serving organizations across 100 countries. It has received industry recognition from Everest Group, NelsonHall and HRO Today for delivering best-in-class programs for both contingent and permanent employment. In addition to MSP and RXO, Pontoon has expertise in workforce planning including freelancer management, SAW, direct sourcing and total talent. VNDLY and Pontoon will work together to create dynamic and customized solutions for their clients. We are very excited about the partnership with Pontoon. Pontoon is one of the most forward-thinking human capital firms in the world and is leading the transformation in the workforce planning and management space. We are humbled and honored to be a partner in this journey, Shashank Saxena, co-founder and CEO of VNDLY, said in a press release. Pontoon is committed to provide superior MSP programs that allow us to strategically architect solutions around business challenges our clients face today. We are excited to partner with VNDLY, a state-of-the-WMS and industry innovator. Together, we will provide powerful solutions for our clients, added Jan Jacob, Pontoon's global MSP product owner. Back in March, VNDLY announced that it raised $11 million in Series A funding from Battery Ventures, Hyde Park Venture Partners, Epic Ventures, Bowery Capital and the Centrifuge Syndicate Fund. It said it will use the funding to focus on product innovation, global expansion and customer acquisition. How cybersecurity tries to keep up with attackers' evolving strategies. The cybersecurity world is witnessing a potentially new, dangerous threat. According to insurance firm Euler Hermes, one of its corporates fell victim to cyber fraud after attackers used sophisticated artificial intelligence (AI) technology to impersonate the firm's chief executive officer by mimicking his voice on the phone. Though the tactic is unusual, cybersecurity experts warn the strategy could signal an increasing use of so-called deepfake technology to infiltrate systems and steal company cash. It's unclear whether AI voice mimicking will become the norm in cyberattacks, but what is certain is that these criminals are growing more sophisticated and experimenting with new technologies and tactics to commit their crimes. One cybersecurity expert, Agari CEO Patrick Peterson, recently told reporters that cyberattackers are beginning to look like super criminals thanks to their creative, albeit malicious, use of sophisticated technologies. In response, however, cybersecurity companies, businesses, and government officials are similarly exploring new strategies to combat this threat. Some of those strategies include collaboration, with Comcast Business recently announcing a collaboration with Fortinet and Akamai to elevate cybersecurity capabilities for middle-market clients. For others, like the Cyber Readiness Institute, combating cybercrime means expanding the availability of resources. The institute recently revealed its plans to translate its cybersecurity program to Spanish and Portuguese, for instance. Other tactics include strategic investment in cybersecurity, government-led initiatives, and technological innovation, all in an effort to stay ahead of bad actors. Below, PYMNTS looks at some of the numbers behind changing cybersecurity strategies. 29% of small businesses spend less than $1,000 on IT security each year, data from Untangle revealed in its 2019 SMB IT Security Report. SmallBizTrends reported last week that this data conflicts with Untangle's other finding, that 80% of businesses surveyed agree IT security is a top priority. According to Untangle Chief Technology Officer Timur Kovalev, small businesses struggle with limited budgets, time and workforces, forcing these firms to reassess their IT security investments and prioritizing which cybersecurity technologies demand the limited funding that's available. 50% of alerts received by cybersecurity experts are false positives, new research from CRITICALSTART reveals. As a result, these professionals are beginning to tune out those alerts, raising the risk of missing an actual cyber threat, Health IT Security Reports said last week. Each alert takes more than 10 minutes to investigate, and with experts receiving an average of 10 a day, researchers warn that cybersecurity personnel are beginning to suffer from alert fatigue, signaling the need for more sophisticated, intelligent technology, as well as automation. $157 million, the cost of the Australian government's 2016 cybersecurity initiative. Now, Australia is looking to update and revamp its strategy to combat cybercrime. According to ZDNet reports, the government plans to introduce a new cybersecurity strategy that will supersede the 2016 initiative, noting that the threat environment has changed significantly and we need to adapt our approach to improve the security of business and the community, according to Peter Dutton, Minister for Home Affairs. Australia is now seeking comment from industry experts to address modern cyber threats in both the private and public sector. $13.5 billion has been lost to the business email compromise scam between 2013 and 2018, data analyzed by cybersecurity firm Agari, in conjunction with the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Internet Complaint Center, revealed. Yahoo Finance reports last week said Agari CEO Patrick Peterson is warning that cyber criminals are beginning to look more like super criminals, elevating their attack strategies to impersonate vendors or company executives and steal corporate funds. In response, Agari said solution providers must evolve their technologies to mitigate this risk even after cyber criminals have infiltrated a supply chain. PrimaryBid closes $7 million funding round. PrimaryBid, the award-winning FCA-regulated online platform connecting publicly listed companies with everyday investors for discounted share issuances, today announced that it has closed a $7 million funding round, led by Pentec and Outward VC with participation from new and existing investors. The investment enables the company to aggressively expand its sales and marketing efforts as well as accelerate IT product development. Pentec invests in startups that are building category-leading software and are capable of becoming global companies. With notable investments in other UK fintech companies, including Nutmeg, which recently closed a 45 million funding round led by Goldman Sachs, Pentec has a deep understanding of democratization in financial services and is an ideal fit to lead the investment round. Outward VC invests in early-stage fintech companies that focus on large global market opportunities. Backed by Investec Bank, NIBC and other international investors, Outward VC works closely with its portfolio companies to help them leverage its global network and domain expertise in financial services. Notable investments include fast-growing UK fintechs such as Monese, Curve and Bud. Craig Anderson, a partner at Pentec, will join the PrimaryBid board of directors with Outward VC having a board observer seat. The Series A financing builds on an exceptional year for PrimaryBid. The company made key executive appointments and achieved its ambition to extend its services beyond the UK with an exclusive, long-term commercial agreement with Euronext, the leading pan-European exchange in the Eurozone. The partnership gives the company access to 9 new geographies, with the first new site launching in France later this year. Commenting on the funding round, Anand Sambasivan, co-founder and CEO of PrimaryBid, said, "We are on a mission to democratize public equity offerings. Everyday investors are a vital part of the stock market and yet unable to buy discounted share deals, a long-standing imbalance in the public markets. This is true whether it is a government selling down its holding in a large company or a quoted company is raising growth capital. Our online platform addresses this challenge, giving small investors the same access as traditionally afforded to large institutional investors. We are grateful for the backing of our lead investors as well as our other institutional and angel investors. With their support, we are confident of executing our vision quickly and efficiently." Craig Anderson of Pentec said, "We believe equity capital markets infrastructure is dominated by an institutional focus and is not geared for retail investors, which unfairly restricts consumer access to the primary equity markets. PrimaryBid addresses this problem by using technology to democratize the equity capital markets to provide a new asset class to retail investors. We are very excited to be working with Anand and the PrimaryBid team to help realize that mission." Kevin Chong of Outward VC said, "By bringing publicly listed companies directly to ordinary investors, PrimaryBid addresses increasing frustrations felt by equity issuers and potentially expands global equity markets to the benefit of all players, investors, issuers and investment bank advisors. It's the future of equity capital markets and Anand and the team have been very impressive in their execution. We look forward to supporting PrimaryBid through a high-growth, internationalization phase." Spendesk raises $38 million in Series B round. Spendesk, the leading spend management platform for small to mid-sized businesses (SMBs), today announced it has raised $35 million in a Series B round led by Index Ventures. This round brings the total raise to $45 million. The investment will help fund product development and accelerate international expansion, with new offices opening in London and Berlin. "We want to make spending at work as easy as it is in our private lives. We've already seen the private payments sector disrupted by new players like Revolut and N26, but most businesses still manage spending like it's 1995 with archaic processes like shared company credit cards, petty cash or manual expense reports. We're here to change that," says Rodolphe Ardent, CEO and founder at Spendesk. The Spendesk platform combines virtual and physical payment methods with approval workflows, automatic receipt capture, real-time spend analysis and invoice management. Finance teams also benefit from powerful reporting and accounting integrations. On average, Spendesk customers save up to 3 days each month on reconciliation tasks alone. Spendesk is the first spend management platform built for both finance teams and employees, says Ardent. With visibility along the entire spending process, finance leaders can decentralize spending across the business without any loss of control. Employees benefit from streamlined expense and invoice management through the Spendesk website or app, whether on the road or in the office. Spendesk will use the newly raised funds to strengthen its product by adding market-leading features including smart analytics, support for more international currencies, wire transfers, and strategic partnerships with complementary services such as TravelPerk. The company will ramp up growth with a special focus on the UK market, tripling the existing English team at Spendesk and opening a new office in London before mid-2020. We see a year-to-year growth of 300% in annual revenue in the UK that we want to further accelerate with a local presence, explains Ardent. More than 1,500 companies across Europe use Spendesk already to manage their spending, among them well-known names in the UK such as Cedars, House, Bulb or Moneybox. It's already been a big year for Spendesk. We've gone from 20 to over 120 employees in under 12 months, and more than doubled our customer base to 1,500 businesses across Europe. This fundraising will help us scale faster and deliver on our mission to help businesses everywhere spend smarter, says Ardent. Dominique Vidal, partner at Index Ventures, is enthusiastic about the opportunity in spend management. Spendesk has seen a tremendous traction with small businesses across Europe. We are investing again, after leading the company's Series A last year, to help Spendesk capitalize on this demand, and expand internationally. This is a market that will continue to grow at a fast pace, and Spendesk is well positioned to be the category leader, said Vidal. Banks and TPPs provide update of their joint PSD2 task force to the European Commission. Following the joint statement between the ECSAs and TPP associations, banks and TPPs now write to provide the European Commission with an update from the joint PSD2 task force. In the joint statement, banks and TPPs agreed on some topics, together with progress made so far. 1. The parties agree to call upon ASPSPs to provide contingency-relevant documentation in their developer portals, more specifically on TPP identification and use of SCA in such contingency scenario. ASPSPs and TPPs shall collaborate for a coordinated and progressive SCA implementation within the boundaries of the law. The ECSAs have made this request within their constituency and such documentation will be complemented with registry information as per topic number 3 below. Progressive SCA implementation will very much depend on the NCA's response to topic number 5. 2. The parties agree to call upon ASPSPs and TPPs to neutrally communicate to PSUs about the changes brought by the introduction of new SCA methods. 3. The parties agree to call upon the ECSA membership to populate and promote transparency initiatives, such as the existing Central Transparency Register maintained by NISP, which contains at minimum the ASPSP's official name, a link to their PSD2-related developer portal and a relevant contact point either email or phone. The task force has held conversations with the three most important API initiatives, i.e. Open Banking in the UK, OB, NextGen PSD2, NISP and STET. The conclusion was that from an EU perspective the current NISP register is the most promising to fulfill the need for a transparency register as meant here. The NISP Steering Committee agreed on 5 September to open up the existing NISP register for all relevant ASPSPs, irrespective of which API initiative they base their APIs on. Next week the ECSAs will communicate this to their constituencies. 4. The parties agree to call upon the TPP's representative associations to call upon their memberships to intensify testing the APIs that are currently available in developer portals and provide relevant feedback to the ASPSPs. ETPPA and FDATA have asked their members to intensify testing and requested feedback to be sent to all the ASPSPs concerned and their NCAs. This has been done on an ongoing basis and that final evaluations of sandbox and production APIs will be provided by 13 September 2019, the end of the testing period. 5. The parties agree to call upon the NCAs to use the possibilities given to them within the law to the maximum extent possible to help avoid unintended customer detriment. ETPPA and FDATA have written to all national competent authorities and explained what is in their view required to avoid customer detriment. So far, UK, France and Germany have responded by providing more flexible arrangements post the 14th of September. It would appear though that some other NCAs are waiting for the EBA to provide guidance and have not yet brought forward arrangements. The EBA does not plan to make any communication on this subject, but that they indicated that national authorities may, at their discretion and subject to the shortest possible period of time, steer a gradual compliance process concerning the implementation of strong authentication on access to online payment accounts. It would be very helpful if the European Commission and EBA could clarify urgently that this is indeed the case and that any decisions on such flexible arrangements lie with each NCA. 6. The parties agree to call upon the relevant authorities to consider urgently the legal possibilities to solve the unintended consequences of 90-day SCA renewal in the context of ICE, taking into account other stakeholders' views. Whilst suggestions for alternative pathways for 90-day reauthentication have been provided, it is important that regulatory guidance is provided to enable ideas to be moved from the discussion stage to the standards design phase, and from the design phase to implementation. An industry workshop to focus on alignment between customer experience, regulation and technical delivery organized by the Commission could be instrumental to move this issue forward. 7. The parties agree to continue their constructive dialogue towards the 14th of September deadline and agree to maintain the task force referred to in Consideration F to monitor progress on a regular basis. Ralph Olhausen, Vice Chairman of ETPPA and member of the Joint PSD2 Task Force commented, "It's good to see progress with our joint bank and TPP activities, but there is a tsunami of problems, which has built up around the implementations of PSD2 APIs and if EBA and NCAs are not acting very quickly now, it will roll over the TPPs by the end of next week." UK, France and Germany seem to be on the case, but we are not seeing much activity elsewhere. How data empowers the new face of SMB accounting. Accountants and bookkeepers have a new reality with their small business clients. Machines can do number crunching and calculations, and these professionals are now forced to examine how to elevate their role with SMBs to continue to provide value. Today, evolving the job of a small business accountant means not being replaced by technology, but tactfully using it. Troves of data are available within automated cloud accounting platforms like QuickBooks, as SmartBooks founder and CEO Cal Wilder told PYMNTS in a recent interview. However, accountants are not developers, so understanding how to unlock that data and wield it to provide actionable insight for clients is a challenge one necessary to overcome, though, if accountants are to demonstrate their value. In this regard, Wilder said, the rise of seemingly competing automated accounting platforms like QuickBooks has opened opportunities for accountants if they have the right tools and technology to take advantage of them. There is a lot of data in these platforms, but it's not presented in a way that's easily digestible to small business owners and not easily presented by advisors like accountants to the small business owner, he said. These professionals could, indeed, extract that data, upload it to an Excel spreadsheet, and deploy complex calculations to obtain insights like gross profit margin percentage over 12 months, for instance, or gross margin by product line, or customer payment analytics. However, such manual data processes would take up a significant amount of an accountant's time if they have the knowledge and skill set to complete such tasks. SmartBooks' answer to this began with a solution it initially used internally. Last week, the company announced that the tool, SmartBooks Genie, is now available to other outsourced accounting and bookkeeping professionals. The Genie software overlays QuickBooks to automate data extraction, with several preset modules to analyze that information and present a range of performance metrics for users' clients. The artificial intelligence hype. Providing more sophisticated analytics of companies' financial data stored within their back-office platforms has emerged as a top focus for fintech developers and industry professionals. In this effort, artificial intelligence and machine learning have become staple buzzwords in this industry. Last week, researchers at the Accounting Services Group, Chartered Accountants Benevolent Association, CABA, released new data on the impact AI has already had on the profession, with a survey of 251 accountants finding that 52% agree AI will have a positive effect on their jobs. AI also landed at the top of items accountants expect to be the most significant trend in this space. Though CABA Service Director Kelly Feehan acknowledged that artificial intelligence could be too expensive or advanced for some firms to adopt, she said it was encouraging to see so many accountants optimistic about the technology. As organizations become used to automation, they will start to see how technology can work to complement their workforce, said Feehan in a statement, accounting to Accountancy Age reports, adding that AI can help lessen the burden of menial, administrative tasks on employees. While SmartBooks Genie does include some artificial intelligence, Wilder warned against the profession putting too much stock in the technology at least, for the time being. There is a lot of hype in the industry around artificial intelligence and machine learning, and it seems like everyone is trying to say they have the latest and greatest technology automated everything, he said. But there's nothing that really works very well that delivers on that promise right now. Wilder said that artificial intelligence is not getting agile and sophisticated enough to make good on promises like 24/7 zero human touch automation. So while AI can, as Feehan said, reduce the burden of manual tasks like data entry and analytics, today, small business clients are less interested in the technologies their outsourced accountants are using today, and more interested in the value-added service and insights their accountant partners provide. As accountants develop their technology adoption strategies, Wilder noted that a part of that strategy should include combining technology with expertise and service benefits, which some automated cloud accounting platforms don't come with today. When the technology is a little more evolved, we'll look to do a little more with artificial intelligence, he said. But initially, we're trying to empower traditional bookkeepers and accounting services firm to have better technology to do their jobs, and to be able to more effectively compete against software companies out there that don't have personal customer service. Accountants' ability to compete with technology must also include technology, however, so finding the right tools to provide small business clients with sophisticated, actionable insights that their automated accounting platforms cannot offer is essential. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.